This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Monster Energy, welcome to Rockville Return to Metropolitan Park, April 29th and 30th, with Def Leppard and Soundgarden. With The Perfect Circle, The Offspring, Mastodon, Chevelle, Papa Roach, Cedar, 3 Days Grace, Alter Bridge, The Pretty Reckless, and more. Welcome to Rockville. 2 days, over 40 bands, on 3 stages. Tickets are on sale now. Head over to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for all tickets and more.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by actress Samantha Stewart. Samantha, how's it going?
Hi, good.
Awesome, awesome. I'm so excited to have you on tonight's show.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome. So, Samantha, for our listening audience, I was wondering if you could tell us, when did you first become involved with acting? What was kind of the catalyst that got you interested in the craft?
My parents would say I was born a Leo and therefore addicted to the spotlight. I just always loved like getting the solos in my church choir and that kind of thing. And my mom started recognizing my need to be on stage, so to speak. So she brought me to an audition for a community theater production. And I booked it, and that was my first job that I ever did. It was a Christmas production called The Littlest Angel. And I played, you know, just like a supporting role of one of the angels. And I was completely hooked on acting ever since. And from then on, you know, just made sure I did all the musicals and the plays at school. And I did some regional commercials. And I was with a modeling agency. And I just always wanted to be in the spotlight, I guess.
Man, I hear you. That's awesome. Tell me, what was it like for you, I guess, booking your first, like, featured, like, paid role? Do you remember what your feelings were, like, your emotions or your thoughts on that were?
I mean, it was, you know, it's different when I was in school back in Tennessee versus, you know, when I was out in L.A. and I booked, you know, paying gigs out here. But they always started off small and, you know, just like little short films that would pay like $100. And so I don't remember, you know, my feelings necessarily when I would book those little gigs, but I do remember when I booked my soap opera, Days of Our Lives, and my character I knew would like be coming back throughout the years. That was really exciting. That was when I really felt like I'd done well and was getting what, you know, getting my due, so to speak. And yeah, it was like an amazing experience and a lot of hard work that went into it.
Very nice. With Days of Our Lives, I know that that's like your more notable role, that work that you've done. That must have been such a great experience to be a part of like such an iconic television show.
Yeah.
What was it like for you on a personal level, just being a part of that?
I, like, absolutely adore being on that show. I've done maybe, like, 16 episodes over the years, and the cast and crew are absolutely some of the nicest that you'll ever meet. And the interesting thing about soap operas is that it just works so fast. They're basically shooting an episode and a half every single day. So, you know, just coming on and doing, you know, a few lines here and there, they don't have time to wait for you. Like, you have to know your stuff, and you have to be ready to deliver it in one take because they're going to move on. And that was just really good practice as an actor to be able to, like, nail a shot in one take. And I'm really grateful for my experience on that show and what it's taught me about being a professional actor.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, I know that you, you know, you were raised, you know, you grew up, I guess you'd say religious. Do you ever find that it's tough balancing like the roles that you get with your faith, so to speak?
I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily religious anymore. I grew up, you know, in the Bible Belt, and it was really important to my family to expose me to Christianity, but I don't remember ever being really that strongly pulled in that direction. And actually, when I came to Pepperdine to go to college, it was a Christian school, and some of my religion classes actually pulled me further away from religion. It's like ironically. So, nowadays there's no hesitation really. I wouldn't consider myself religious these days. It was just kind of like how I was raised, but not necessarily who I am anymore.
Gotcha. Okay, I understand completely. I want to talk about your newest film, Voodoo, and it deals heavily with, you know, themes of religion, but also, voodoo itself.
Yeah.
Tell me what it was like for you, doing this film. What drew you to the project?
I mean, especially at that time in my life, like, I was just happy booking, you know, whatever roles came my way, and especially a lead in a feature, like on Voodoo, was a great gig. Especially at that time in my life, I think I'm more picky now, but, you know, this was like over 3 years ago. I was just taking anything I could get, you know, and I was thrilled, like I said, to get a lead on a feature. And, you know, it did scare me a little bit when Tommy sat me down and like told me all of what was going to be involved and, you know, how far they were taking this movie. It was shocking, but, you know, and a little scary just because I do come from a religious background, and not that it was something that would bother me on a moral level, but just like worrying about like friends and family seeing it.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, especially at that stage in my career, I just wasn't about to turn anything down. So I just was like, let's do it, and I'm going to give it all that I have, and hopefully it turns out good, you know?
Yeah, I understand completely. Do you have any, weird set stories? Because I know, I don't know this to be factual, but I've always heard that, you know, whenever somebody's making, like, a horror film, there's, like, all this, like, weird stuff that happens. Was that the case with Voodoo? Was there, like, a bunch of crazy stuff happening?
I mean, I wouldn't say that there was, like, it was, like, a haunted set, but I would definitely say it was plagued with issues. Just, you know, from really day one, we just kept having problems, either location problems or camera problems. Like, we were using this brand new camera at the time that really no one had used before, and it was still kind of in its early stages, and it just wouldn't always work. And sometimes we'd get to set at, you know, 10 a.m. and we wouldn't shoot anything until 6 that night. Like, that happened so many times, and especially when we shot the hell scenes, I mean, just nothing went right. There was one point where they were trying to do these torches in hell, and like they were using, I forget what it was, but it was like kerosene, and we started to smell gas, and we were like, we could literally blow up any minute. We could probably turn these off. It was just like constantly dealing with issues, but it was a really good cast and crew that tried to handle things as professionally as possible, and we ended up making it work. But it was hard. I mean, there were times when I just wanted to, in fact, I did just like sit down and cry, because it was so hard sometimes to get through the day.
Oh my gosh. What would you say, with the hell scene, to me, that like that stood out the most in the movie. Was that particularly hard for you to film, just due to, I guess, your religious upbringing?
I mean, more than anything, it was just physically difficult to film. I didn't really have any moral obligations about it at this point in my life, but physically it was an extremely demanding role, and we had to shoot that entire hell scene in like 2 or 3 days. And like I said, nothing was really going right, and the equipment would break down, or the set wouldn't be finished. And then I had to be like crying and screaming the entire time. And I kept getting like physically injured. You know, the big butcher guy, like, he stepped on my foot at one point and almost like broke the bones.
Golly.
I got punched in the face by one of the demons during the mom scene. There's no stunt team because it was low budget. So I'm literally being like picked up and dragged through the dirt and, like, you know, just every, the rest of the cast that are playing the demons, like, they're going all out. They're really, like, trying to make this look realistic, which I appreciated, but at the same time, it would hurt. Like, it was genuinely hell sometimes getting through those scenes. And, you know, I had to just be, like screaming the whole time. I would lose my voice. So, I mean, those 3 days were some of easily the hardest days on set I've ever had in my life as an actor.
Man, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Jesus, what would you say is, like, I guess the biggest misconception about acting and just kind of, yeah, just acting in general? I know, you know, people that, even myself, you know, people that aren't in the industry, you know, we have, you know, ideas and opinions of what acting entails, but we don't really know. What would you say is the biggest misconception?
Big misconception is, let me think. Maybe that it just kind of, that other people, like agents, can get you work. Like, for me and my career, I've always gotten everything on my own. And I think a lot of people think, you know, you just get like a big, especially actors that come out here, they'll think, oh, I'll just get an agent and everything will sort of just fall into my lap. And for me, I mean, I had to work my ass off for years to get anything. And it's just not one of those careers that you can just kind of sit back and wait for it to come to you. Like, you have to put in 200% effort every single day. And even still, when you do that, sometimes things don't go your way. Like, it's really a difficult career, and you really have to love it because it is hard. And you can be doing this for 10 years and still no one knows your name. So, it's just, yeah, it's not a career for the faint of heart.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would imagine so. Who would you say, I guess, has basically helped you the most? I mean, I know your mom fostered, you know, your love of acting in the arts. Would you say that she's been your biggest help so far?
Definitely my mom's been fantastic. Like, she's the most supportive woman, and you know, she flies out here once a year to see me, so she's fantastic. But I've had a lot of really great people in my life, from, you know, acting coaches to just other people in the industry that I feel like I'm lucky because I surround myself with people that are not super competitive, in the sense that we're all trying to help each other. We're not trying to bring each other down. So when someone else succeeds, it feels like we succeed. And those are the people I try to surround myself in this industry, and it just makes things so much easier, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What projects, upcoming projects, do you have that you're working on that you can share with us?
Well, I have a couple of commercials coming out, one for Home Advisor and one for Rover, which is a dog sitting company. And then I just did a recreation show, like those shows on, you know, TLC or Investigation Discovery. They're like true stories that, you know, actors will recreate. And I've done a ton of those. And I just did another one that will, I think, be out this summer. And then I've also got a horror film coming soon. We haven't shot it yet, but it's in the works, and it's called The Mystery of the Casa Matusita.
Oh, wow.
And it was, you know, it's got Malcolm McDowell and some other big names in it, and I just have a small role, but I'm thinking, I'm really good friends with the producer, and he's working on a lot of other projects that he wants to put me in, so... Yeah, it should be fun.
Very nice. I know that you, you know, would you say that horror is, I guess, one of your favorite genres to act in, or are you open to everything? Because I've seen you in comedy, drama, and in horror.
Yeah, I'd say I just do it all. I want to do anything that excites me. I don't want to get pigeonholed in any particular genre. And, you know, there was a while where I didn't think I could do comedy because I was like a serious actress. And then I realized, like, I'm good at comedy and I can do it just as well. So now I just try to do projects that speak to me and that are exciting to me. and the genre doesn't really matter.
Very nice. Very nice. That's a good thing. Versatility.
Yeah.
Well, Samantha, where can our listeners find out more about you and keep abreast of what you're doing?
Sure. I have a website, thesamanthastewart.com. And my Instagram is thesamanthastewart. And then I have a Facebook fan page that I try to keep updated. Those are the main places that I will constantly be updating.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Samantha, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to do this interview with me. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Oh, well, definitely check out Voodoo. It is unlike anything you will have ever seen. I've joked to a couple of my friends, and they are not prepared for what they see. So be prepared, but it's an awesome movie if you get a chance to see it. It's all over a bunch of different platforms right now. So there's definitely ways to go view it, and I hope you like it.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Samantha. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Guys, that was actress Samantha Stewart. If you're listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iOS store. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Sam. We're also available for Android users. If you've got an Android, search for us in the Google Play Store. Search Google Play Music, search for our show name. You'll be able to hear the show. Lastly, if you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can listen to over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge, just by going to the Roku channel store, search for our name, download the app, and then begin listening.
Monster Energy, welcome to Rockville Returns, April 29th and 30th at Metropolitan Park with Def Leppard and Soundgarden. Also featuring A Perfect Circle, Mastodon, Chevelle, Papa Roach, Seether, 3 Days Grace, Alter Bridge, Coheed and Cambria, The Pretty Reckless, Highly Suspect, Nothing More, and The Offspring. Welcome to Rockville. 2 days, over 40 bands, on 3 stages. Tickets are on sale now. Head over to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for GA, VIP, and package tickets, additional information, and more. Welcome to Rockville, fueled by Monster Energy Drink.